Yeah, it's a pleasure for me to welcome you at our Openness Yes and You Conference 2025, this time at a very different location, and I will try to make a short presentation of what you should do, what you could do here in Bologna, and make a short introduction into the conference, what's going on and how the program is structured and so on. You've managed it to come to Bologna, you have seen the city and you have been many of you have been at the reception. And what you can do in Bologna is very simple to say. You can eat, pray, and visit. And Bologna is just for eating, is a place known for good food. Many of the things we eat everywhere in the world are coming from here, and actually the city of Bologna has also the name La Grassa, which means for this fat lady. I mean, it's just a place where you get good food, and therefore, for example, mortadella is coming from here, this tagliatelle ai ragù, lasagne bolognese and spaghetti bolognese, of course. Then it's not only Bologna itself, but also the surroundings. It's very famous for prosciutto di Parma, and then aceto balsamico di Modena. But Modena is also very close. Modena has also other things to show. If you are in whatever car driving, there's Ferraris there, and there's a factory you can visit. And many cooking classes you can take. It's all over. I mean, it's actually funny watching these cooking classes, even if you don't plan to try to compete with these professionals. Pray, I mean, it's a city of many churches, and one very famous place to go is this sanctuary of San Luca. And you see here there's a very long archway, as is this portico, and it's 4 kilometers long. It's the longest in the world. It's a very nice walk, but it takes you some time until you get up there, but it's very beautiful. There's this place of this Santo Stefano, where it's a complex of 7 churches of various areas and various generations. Also very interesting and very nice to see. And visit, of course, there's many sites here. Altogether, this Bologna is a city of these porticos, of these archways, and there are altogether 60 kilometers of archways in Bologna. It's the oldest university in Europe. This was very close to the place where yesterday often. There's this Pizza Maggiore and other things. Also very, very nice are these medieval towers. I mean, you see, not only Pisa has a tower which is not really straight up, but here are also some towers which are not completely upright. And also the story of the towers is quite nice. I mean, it was at the highest time, there were 180 of these towers in Bologna. Many of them were disappeared. And it was something like a race. The richest people were building the highest power. If you want to claim as a very important person, you have to build a higher tower than your competitors. And therefore, it was a place where they had up to 180 of these towers in the medieval times, and now there are only 20 of them are left. For some of them, you can still go up. I was a couple of years up on this one here. We have a very nice view around, and it's still something if you have plans for after the conference or so, just spend many things to do. And there are many more things.
This year, the highest one is no longer available for
you. I was afraid, I read about it, but I was not sure whether it was. But I think it's this one, yeah. But other ones are open, so just when I walk around, I saw a couple of entries for the towers. Yeah, coming to the conference, I mean, it's now the 21st EuroTickle conference, and altogether it's also the 12th OpenSES conference, and here you see the history of the past events, and you see there more or less up to 2022, there was a EuroTickle conference as a separate organization, and we joined our efforts there in 2022 in Vienna, in the joint conference, and now we are here coming up to the joint conference in Bologna. About our participants, I mean, we have an organization committee, well, it's the same people that did it also the last year and the year before, and conference chair is Harald Ullmann. I think I don't have to introduce him because everybody knows him here.
Welcome everybody.
And Stefan Sobernick is unfortunately not here. He is going to be abroad, unfortunately, and he is me. And we have the organization committee, and for the local organization, everything works pretty much because of Antonio Pisano. He's also responsible for the food. If you have complaints about the food, just
cook it myself.
Just say that, well, if you're very happy about the food, also tell that Antonio. There's also here Bernd Simon from Knowledge Markets. He's here. I mean, also the company Knowledge Markets is the sponsor of this event here. And also Stefan, who is not here, is there and just help to make the whole thing here work here. And about this year's conference, we have now at this conference here 17 presentations and 25 registrations, which are, as you see here, from different places in the world. We actually have participants from three different continents, and you see the distribution is, I think, historically based, just biased by the German-speaking world, and the most participants are from Germany, then Austria, England, US, and also participants from Africa, from Cape Verde. Where is it?
It's me.
Oh, yeah, you're the band. Oh. I didn't see you too right. I think the first time somebody from Africa joined us here. I think that's more or less. I mean, we had more participants in the last years, but it's just, I think it's, we're more abroad here, and it's a very nice assembly, and I think more or less everybody who is here is also presenting. Therefore, it's also, I think it's just very in pace with the motivation. It's not a scientific conference, it's a working conference, and the idea is to join together and think about what to do in the future and how to develop our environment, and it's certainly much better to have people who are actively using it and working it and presenting content to more or less make a good, fruitful conference. About the program, we have 2 days of conference program today. We are here in this welcome reception here. Realizing that I am much too fast from the time schedule here. But then we have here more or less a program which is a mixture of, let's say, OpenACS Navi server stuff starting here in some place, and then the first session going this way, then the next session is going more into the way of Tickle. And we have here more or less a few presentations and a coffee break. Lunch, and in the evening we have here also here one of the three panels, and today's panel will be about state and future of Tickle 9. Harald has presented already some stuff here.
We are saying that we are streaming.
They're streaming this slide, the title slide. So there's probably the wrong window selected for streaming. We're not streaming this. We're streaming the title slide.
Okay. But I'm more or less done with this, therefore I think it's from this point of view it's a
slides will be available anyway later, won't they? And the program is in fact already available, so
therefore it's there's no need just to restart the whole presentation.
But if you need some 20 minutes more to...
Exactly, it would be perfect, actually. But I think it's no problem that we can start earlier with our presentations, and because we're just here in the group and nobody on the outside. So, I mean, in the last years we could also announce that we will stream the conference. And actually, there were, I just have the figures from 2 years ago, we have 180 external participants, also from all over the world, which were watching the conference from remotely. And I mean, it's from people, whatever, coming from the US. We have people from the US here, but still, it's some more effort to join the conference, and there are people who don't have a large budget, and from the company side here, and therefore it's easier to join remotely. But since we couldn't guarantee this time to have a good streaming, we said more or less we have no streaming, we're doing our best effort. We have now a streaming happening here via Zoom, but it's just used actually for recording. Therefore, it's important to have at the end all of the slides together, and I also ask everybody to send the slides at the end to, I mean, we have this conference email address. I think everybody who did not send the final slides, please send it there. It's recommended. Please send it in PDF if possible. It makes it afterwards easier for us to have a joint website where people can afterwards write to the presentation. So just look at the slides. And also, the plan is to have also the recordings from the presentation there. Good. Important point is here's a lunch. We have a lunch break here of 1 hour. And then we have here the Tickle and Tickle side, and also Tickle and TK somewhat mixed together. We have the coffee break here, and the last sessions for the day on the Tickle side. And then we have the panel. I think the panels is a very important part. And also Harald was always very strong behind these panels, and they are important. And actually I would think without these two panels of the last conferences, we wouldn't have today a Tickle 9. I really believe this. And it's really, it is a place where people stand up and say, what do we have exactly? I mean, there's always more things to do. There's always a thing we can say, couldn't we, there's a small thing here, let's add this one here. And nobody has another idea. It's just continuous evolution. And Harald took on and say, look, people, we were working on Tickle 9 for whatever, 10 years, Harald knows it better. And it was there in an archive sitting there, and it was simply maintained of just bringing stuff from Tickle 8, 6 into 9, and having more or less all of the maintenance work of the Tickle code was just merging between versions, and it's somewhat stupid. And therefore, it's great that we have at the last year's conference, we had the release of Tickle 9, and now we have already Tickle 9.0.2, two releases after this. It's, for Tickle, it's amazing speed of releases that we have experienced yet. And I mean, Tickle has also OpenSS and also Navi Server, AOL Server, has a very conservative community. And I know large installations, we are still using Tickle 8.5. And these are people which are competent. It's not people which are saying that I have not looked in Tickle community for many years, but they're really confident that their code with Tickle 5 works best, and they have large products, and they have installed a large install base. And if you look, use a lot of details and event management, whatever, many things certainly have changed between Tickle 8.5 and 8.6, and not to talk about Tickle 9. Therefore, people are conservative. Therefore, it's the same thing with, I mean, Tickle World lives by these conservative people, because this is a working installation all over the world, and people are happy with their running programs. It's like, why should I change something? And therefore, I understand this fully. And the same thing is with OpenSS. There are many installations out there with running ancient versions of OpenSS. Ancient version means where they were released, I don't know, 15 years ago, and they are completely happy with this. And why should we change anything? And therefore, I have sometimes the feeling that we are disturbing with new releases the happy world and the happy environment, and making them actually more work than they like to spend there. And this is about our community, and it's like it is. But still, I mean, if a code which is not changing is on the long time dying code, and therefore it's something we need changes. I mean, anyhow. I mean, this was this today's program, and on tomorrow's program there we have the with the session there going somewhat more into the direction of decay, and we have here a decay battle going on, and it's always the question is how do we proceed with tickle and decay? Is this decay something like a package of tickle or not, or is it all together? But I mean, the decision also made from this panel in the last year was to go in sync and therefore having everything all together. And I think it's important decisions. I mean, it's important decisions not from the technical point of view, but from a, let's say, product point of view. I mean, people have software that they install, and they do not want to deal with 20 versions of everything. They want to say, okay, in this version I take this one and make the world simple. And then we have here also at the end some Marcus Messias putting here together, and at the end we have here a panel going there, and how should we move on. And I mean, I've collected a couple of questions from the user community via email, and it's more or less a starting point where we can see what's next. And also you as a participants, you should also think about what's next. What is the thing that you wish to have in the future? I think it's not only for this one, also during the presentations, if something pops up in your mind and say, oh, I would like to have this, speak up. I mean, this is the place. I mean, there are not many communities out there where the user can influence the emphasis on what they're going on. And it's a very fruitful conference from this point of view, because we get this input and people speak up. Anyhow. I made up some of the time, and I think also maybe Harald, you also want to add something up to the...
Yeah, welcome! We made it again! So welcome everybody, thanks to Antonio, and have a great conference!